COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Yes, Texas lost to Ohio State on Saturday, 14-7. The offense, woof. Arch Manning, brutal. Steve Sarkisian, not so good. And yet, still had a chance to win that thing at the very end. Shout out to that defense. Once again, at Texas, is very, very good. Will it carry them all season? It might have to. I think that this is a perk of being someone who covers college football and is definitely more of a casual college football fan than most people. I went to a school where it doesn't really matter. And while I might be the most intense Syracuse football fan that there is, I also realize the school's place, so I don't freak out when they get pummeled by Tennessee the way that they did on Saturday, you know? Did ultimately think it was probably going to go down like that. It took me 2 minutes to be like, oh, okay, they're just way better. Whoops, shouldn't have picked them in the pick six segment. But I think one of the perks of being somebody who is in this industry and talks about college football is you get time. You get time to calm down from overreacting in a season where the regular season is still most important. Among all major sports, I think this is good to have, not just for someone that talks about the game, but also I think for fans too. Because I really do think that if you are a Texas fan, there are certainly things to be concerned about Steve Sarkisian as a play caller, how good Arch might actually be. But I'm walking away from this weekend and I'm not thinking that I'm the biggest loser, you know? I'm annoyed by all the chirping that I'm getting, all the trash talk that I'm getting. But it could have been worse. It really could have been. If you're feeling down today, this Labor Day, and you're a Texas fan, put on tape of Alabama against Florida State. Just put the tape on. You will feel so much better. Can you believe Alabama hired Kalen DeBoer? I get it. Got to hire somebody. He was doing pretty well at Washington. But, I mean, you got a guy from the Pacific Northwest to replace Nick Saban. And you can already tell, Saban is so far gone from that program. And as you typically do, when things start to hit the fan, all of a sudden you're starting to see reports that, I mean, they can't even organize the bus that goes from the team hotel to the stadium. That was probably the one I laughed at the most with all the Bama fans who are freaking out now that their dynasty is officially over. It's done. It is done. Like, stick a fork in them. Can't even get the guys on the bus on time. You got players out there going viral for not hustling. You got other players going viral for getting pancaked by a wide receiver. It could be so much worse, Texas fans. And look, this might be Sark all season long. This just might be Sark. For Arch, the expectations were outsized, and he's probably never going to live up to them. But at least you're not Alabama. Wow, are they bad. I mean, think about this. If you're an Alabama fan, and this guy named Tommy Castellanos who got benched at Boston College in the offseason is talking trash about your program. He doesn't think you're bleep as he joins this Florida State team that was the single most disappointing team in college football last year. They were top 10 and they started off the season, what, 0-3? This guy is chirping you going into the year. And I mean, in years past, isn't that just an automatic victory for a Nick Saban coach team? Wouldn't that be an automatic victory for a Bill Belichick coach team back in the Patriots glory days? Like something like that happened. I mean, if you're an Alabama fan, you probably just you put your feet up and you're like, you flex your knuckles a little bit. Wait till they see what happens on Saturday. And then this guy, who was, again, a Bill O'Brien castaway. Bill O'Brien threw this guy in the trash. He comes into you, and you see him in Florida State, obviously. Tallahassee, that is not very rizzy. Like, that is not the Tallahassee of yesteryear. I think they were all like, yeah, it's probably not going to go so hot for us. But then as the game goes on, and all of a sudden, you're an Alabama fan, and you're leaving in the middle of the fourth quarter, and you're walking down, and all these Noel fans are going, like, that's rock bottom for you. And it's going to get worse. So, one more time, I'm just telling you, if you're a Texas fan, watch that game. You're going to feel a lot better. It sucked. You're going to have to deal with chirping from an Aggie team that you handled, at least their offense last season, from an Oklahoma team who you basically fired into the sun. Like, you're going to hear some chirping. A lot of hype. Could have been a lot worse. Really could have been.
I was rooting so hard for Florida State
at
2:30. Take the heat off. Take the heat off. Don't, not the number one story. Not the most disappointing. I agree with you. It's like Alabama, but you're right. Under Nick Saban, like you don't get this effort ever from Alabama.
Yeah.
Every single week that you're getting, it's you walk in, you're like, maybe we get Alabama's B game. And we play outside of our brains, and we can hang in there with them. But most, you know, 10 out of 12 games of the year, Alabama comes in,
right,
A on point, A-plus effort, and they just roll you. This is an Alabama, it's like I said, Alabama's just another very talented SEC team now. They're not on a pedestal of, like, they come in and they take care of business. It's like, they might come in and F around and look terrible for 3.5 quarters.
This is going to sound mean, but they're like bitch made Ole Miss.
That does sound mean.
But I mean, I look at them and Ole Miss is always one of those programs where there's a ton of talent every single season, but I know they are going to puke themselves at some point. But I don't feel like Ole Miss gets punked that often. Bama seems like they're going to get punked a lot now.
Yeah, I mean,
They got punked.
Florida State.
Florida State. It's like the fourth best team in the ACC going into the year, at best. At best.
Yeah. They won 2 games last year.
Yeah,
Paul.
They were
they went 2-10.
Off.
And, yeah, a great improvement would be like they end up being 8-4. That would be insane if they had that turnaround. Looks like they might. But, I mean, you go back to the Oklahoma game last year, the Vanderbilt game last year. Like,
yeah.
It's now 3 games that do not happen with Nick Saban as your coach.
For sure.
Where you lose outright as 2 touchdown favorites.
In less than a year, they have lost to a Boston College castoff and a 5'10" Vanderbilt dude. Both of whom with massive egos. Both of them. I don't know that Diego Pavia was... I don't know that what he was saying before the game was as telegraphed as what Thomas Castellanos said this offseason was. And I don't know if there was some clip, because you watched the SEC documentary, you could tell Pavia probably said something to the T, which was like, yeah, we're going to beat
confident
their ass.
Guy.
Right. I mean, now, who else is going to be confident against you? You know? Like, everyone is now going to be foaming at the mouth when they see you on the schedule, because they're like, okay, it's going to look awesome if we pull this off, and it's very possible to pull this thing off.
Yeah, we're going to get to storm the field when we beat you. Still.
Ah!
Florida State did it.
That's true. This is their last year where they'll be able to do that, I think.
Yeah. I think part of it is that Florida State, again, went 10-2 last year, or 2-10. Sorry, I had that reversed because so few teams actually go 2-10.
It's Florida State. You assume. Oh yeah, I mean the SEC, kind of a joke. They're going to be top four every single year. Like growing up, I was like, well, it's Florida State's unless
they set up the entire division split. The Atlantic and the Coastal, so that Miami and FSU could play every single year. And they have never played in the ACC title game.
Man. Anyway, guys, there you go. If you're a Texas fan,
it
could be worse.
I can co-sign this. It felt good. It felt good to be like, okay, it's not just us.
Right.
At least we lost a good team.
Yeah. Cade Klubnik, he got hype.
Yeah. Fourth-year starter.
Clemson quarterbacks. Can we stop now?
It's
post Deshaun Watson. Can we stop?
I mean,
can we stop?
Even Deshaun as a long-term investment didn't turn out that
hard. Right. I mean, but post Deshaun. But let's stop. Let's stop. You know, it did turn into a bit of a race war online, the discourse. Not great. After Trevor Lawrence. Excuse me, not Trevor Lawrence. Sorry, I'm confusing Arch Manning with Trevor Lawrence. There are some similarities.
Wow.
There are some
They both wear 16.
Inaccurate, tall, very athletic. But I mean, the discourse online became, oh, why are people calling Arch Manning Nepo Baby? Well, how about we just say, like, Cade Klubnik. This is like the latest insert rando at Clemson. That people are like, yep, he's going to be good. Dabo, too, man. Dabo baptized him and showed him the Lord. Like, can we stop? Can we just stop with that program? Seeing LSU stomp on the midfield afterwards. Oh my God! Just I had a massive pants tent over that. Like, actually, was erect. You know what? Just saying, that was just beautiful. I hate that program, and like the idea that you're calling yourself Death Valley, and where is your stadium even near campus? You have to borrow that from somebody.
They have to take a bus around the thing to run down the hill.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're ridiculous. What are we doing? Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show. F Clemson, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Did anyone lose the college football weekend on the same level as Alabama? Is anyone on that same page? Obviously, Arch and Steve Sarkisian, not that far behind, but did anyone else lose the weekend that much? It is the Paul Gallant Show, 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 975. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Who lost the college football weekend? Got to be Kalen DeBoer in Alabama. I do wonder if Bama gets real trigger happy. Because this is the fun part about college football programs that have expectations. Alabama still thinks it's hot, right? Alabama's still going to think it's hot for a very, very long time. I know this feeling. I'm wearing a Patriots hat right now. I still think my team's hot.
Yeah, and college football, there's like even more built-in, like, oh, once you're on top, you kind of just stay on top.
Right. Like, especially for Bama. I mean,
there's no reason they should ever lose to Vanderbilt, and then they did last year.
Ever. Or last year's Oklahoma team, for sure. And honestly, there's a case to be made that this year's Florida State team is not a team you should lose to either. We will see as this season progresses.
TBD.
But I mean, I feel like how I look at Tommy Castellanos is the way that everyone should.
Which Tommy
is,
touchdown. Yes, some have called.
Yes, some would call it that. My my dad's girlfriend's son, who is like a little mini step bro for me. Love this kid. Very funny. Randomly likes both Boston College and Florida State. So Tommy Castellanos transfers to Florida State. This summer, he says, dude, Tommy Castellanos of Florida State, I think the Noles are going to be back. And I told him, this is very stupid. This is very stupid, Will. I love you. This is very stupid. And over the course of Saturday, while I'm not watching the Florida State-Alabama game at the very beginning, Will just sends me a text about Tommy touchdowns. That's how bad Alabama was on Saturday. A guy that was thrown to the side like a cigarette by Bill O'Brien is getting called Tommy touchdowns after just kicking your ass. So Bama's at the top. Texas is certainly not too far from the top. Northwestern's looking bad today, too. I think it might be unfair the way that Northwestern is being portrayed, because Tulane kicked their butts. Not surprising. Northwestern in a post-Pat Fitzgerald era, I don't think they're ever going to be a factor again. But after the game, John Sumrall, the new head coach of Tulane, shared this with the class about why Tulane, the home team, was wearing green jerseys instead of white jerseys to commemorate 20 years post Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans.
You know, we wore the green helmets today for the 20th anniversary of Katrina. I'm going to say one thing. I'm not trying to take a shot, but we requested to wear white jerseys because that's what that team wore. It got denied by the other team. That's their prerogative. But when you show disrespect to the city of New Orleans, that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to run into a team like this. They had a chip on their shoulder because I wanted them to wear the same exact uniform that team wore 20 years ago. Request got denied. We might have used that for a little bit of motivation to represent the city. So don't disrespect New Orleans ever. With that, open up to questions.
I'm sure there are a lot of players at Tulane that are from New Orleans, that are from the greater Louisiana era. I know that as far as schools go, as somebody who went to high school in St. Pete, Florida, I know that I had some friends that went to Tulane. I know that it's like a rich kid party school, but hey, I imagine the football program, things a little bit different. I have questions. I am skeptical about this. I say that because you could have made this decision, period. You were the home team. The way you're talking about it, it's like you were the road team. Home team gets to pick their uniforms. Did they not tell Northwestern until the day of the game? Because there's certainly a possibility that they didn't tell Northwestern until the day of the game. And Northwestern's like, hey, man, we only brought our road uniforms. Like this, to me, that's what I'm wondering. Did Tulane just never tell Northwestern about it? Because that makes far more sense than the idea that Tulane would be denied. I did not know that the home team had to ask for permission. Because I know back in the day, one of the things that Bill Parcells and then Bill Belichick would do, you know how the Cowboys always like to wear the white jerseys? Specifically, whenever they would play against the Cowboys at home, they would wear the white jerseys. I know with the Patriots, at the very least, that's what Belichick did the few times that they played the Cowboys, because they wanted the Cowboys to wear their blue uniforms. It's like a weird like superstition thing, and I guess it makes the Cowboy mystique go away or something like that. I feel like if Tulane wanted to wear the white jerseys, they could have.
Yeah.
And someone didn't dot their I's across their T's.
Yeah, especially because like the 20-year of anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, like, shouldn't sneak up on anyone.
No. I can
tell you right now when the 30-year anniversary is going to be. But the only thing I can think of is Northwestern didn't want to wear dark uniforms in New Orleans in late August.
And I get that, too.
Yeah, I think it was a strategic play for... I forgot who the coach is, but not Pat Fitzgerald and Northwestern.
LSU always wears their white jerseys. Why can't you wear your white jerseys at home? When has LSU not worn white at home?
Or is this 4D chess by Tulane coach John Sumrall? This is how you get motivation. You just fabricate motivation like you're Michael Jordan in the Last Dance doc. And you're just like, how about we just say that we asked to wear white, but don't do that anyway. And then piss off our players.
But then you're lying about like Northwestern after the fact and making Northwestern look like a-holes. I suppose that there's no way that Northwestern could sue for something
defamation.
Like this for libel or defamation.
They'll try. I'm sure they take media law classes there too.
They probably have some lawyers there.
I know they do.
They probably have some lawyers. Yeah, I mean, I took a media law class and I got a D in it. It was the worst grade I ever got in my life. There's something's up here. And listen, Northwestern looks horrible coming out of it, especially because they also got spanked.
Yeah.
But I don't buy this backstory.
There's more to the story.
I think there's more to the story here, and to me, it feels like they fell asleep at the wheel and then told him about it Friday or something like that, which I think is believable.
It could be. That's possible.
It's certainly believable. Somebody in the Tulane athletic department was like, oh, yeah, it has been 20 years since Hurricane Katrina. Like, to me, that seems very possible.
Or just like, oh, Randy, you said you would send that you said you would send that request to Northwestern before you went on vacation, right? And he goes,
exactly.
I did say I was going to do it.
I'm assuming, especially given that Tulane is all of a sudden good at football, I'm assuming that there are people that now work at Tulane that are not from New Orleans. You know, in years past, I could easily see someone from New Orleans knowing about this. Everything's taken care of. To me, I and also claiming like the players are motivated to play for Hurricane Katrina. That to me, they're 20.
Yeah, the freshman class was probably born in 2007.
Yeah. So, unless every single morning these kids that now play for Tulane were being told by their dad and mom about all the horrible things that happened in New Orleans in the wake of Hurricane Katrina, and there were lots of horrible things that happened.
Yeah, I'm sure they were. I mean,
yeah.
If their parents are from New Orleans, they would know about Hurricane Katrina.
For sure. But there's just a lot in this story that I'm like, okay, first off, you needed this to motivate yourselves to play.
And
this is why you won.
They beat the pants off of them.
Yeah,
too.
Northwestern sucks. Like that was in my confidence. We do a confidence picks thing where you pick like 1 through 10 confidence level based off a select group of college football games over the course of the year. That was my number one confidence was Northwestern Tulane over Northwestern. I was like, Northwestern sucks and Tulane's good. What are we doing here? It's on the road. I didn't even think about the 20-year anniversary or they weren't going to let them wear their white jerseys. Like, eh. Anyway, sorry for just going on this for such a long time, but Northwestern is coming off as one of the biggest losers of the college football weekend, and I'm not sure that they necessarily should be.
Can I throw in from the weeknight slate?
Weeknight slate.
Boise State. Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Turns out Ashton Jeanty, really freaking good. And in fact, maybe better than any of us thought that he was, where Boise State, and I know it's not as simple as this, but in their first game without Ashton Jeanty in year two, they go to Tampa and lose 34-7 to South Florida Bulls.
Don't sleep on the South Florida Bulls, though.
They are good. The quarterback looked awesome.
As someone who's been to 15 South Florida college football games, I've been to more South Florida games than any other school other than Syracuse.
Okay.
Watching college football.
Yeah. They know your name at Ray J.
Don't sleep on him.
You know the fight song.
It's a sick fight song.
You could also be making it up and no one would.
No. It's awesome.
Yeah. I think Boise State just going from like, it's a little bit of their season, just grand opening, grand closing of, okay, you started the year ranked out of respect for what you did last year and you immediately give away all goodwill.
Alabama's the biggest loser. 5-5 in their last 10 games. 4 losses as double-digit favorites. Kalen DeBoer. Paul Feinbaum lost the weekend.
Yeah. Oh, Paul Feinbaum big-time lost the weekend.
Brutally bad takes. Worst take Tuesday. Don't worry. You'll get a lot of Paul Feinbaum tomorrow. So, biggest loser of the weekend. Yes, I get it. People are mad at Texas. You're mad at Sark. You're mad at Arch Manning.
I think Texas is on the medal stand. I just don't think they're on the top.
I think that they would probably be third. I'm not sure who would be second, but I feel like, I mean, the expectations and the hype are a reason that they're even at the top. Because if this isn't that, isn't this just the number three team at home beats the number one team by a touchdown? Oh, wow, I've never seen that before. Crazy. It is the Paul Gallant Show. We are 3 days away from the start of the NFL season. I know, it's Thursday. Isn't that wild? This month has flown by. Eagles, Cowboys. Who's the greatest number three in NFL history? You're going to be surprised with this one. You're going to be surprised. Stay put.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant.
We are 3 days away from the start of the NFL season. It'll be here Thursday. Eagles, Cowboys in Philadelphia as the Eagles hang their second banner ever. And the Cowboys play their first game post Micah Parsons. They did pay somebody, though. We'll get to that in a moment. Who is the best number three in NFL history? This is not a great number, which is surprising. So I asked artificial intelligence, here are a couple of number threes that we get to before the guy who has the crown, if we're talking about name recognition in 2025. Jim Thorpe, he wore number three. Bronco Nagurski also wore number three. He played in the 30s and then in 1943. Tony Canadeo, ever heard of him?
No.
You've never heard of the Gray Ghost of Gonzaga? That's his nickname.
Wow.
Led the NFL in rushing in 1945. Season was over. World War II was over.
Oh, so no asterisks.
No asterisk. It was done. Everyone was back. You would assume. Most people were back. Some people were stationed overseas afterwards. Versatile. He was a runner, a passer, and a punter. NFL Hall of Fame in 1974. The Gray Ghost of Gonzaga. But the best number three, unless you want to give it to a kicker, Jan Stenerud, is Russell Wilson. Isn't that crazy? You could maybe give it to Derwin James or Buda Baker or some safeties that have played. But it's probably Russell Wilson.
Jay Feely?
No.
Matt Bryant?
It's a number for kickers.
Yeah.
It's surprising, too, now that anyone's allowed to wear number three. I would think that Tank Dell, as far as number threes in the NFL, would be close to the top as far as people who wear that number. It's just not a very popular number.
I think it's Russ.
Yeah.
Carson Palmer wore number three.
Carson Palmer did wear number three.
But yeah.
But he also wore number nine, too, right?
Yes.
So that's a tricky one.
I think he only wore three with the Raiders.
I think that's correct. Who was the best number three in Houston Texans history, you might be wondering? Well, Tank Dell is already towards the top. Some others. Oof. Chris Brown. I remember Chris Brown because every single time I watched NFL primetime, I felt like I was watching Chris Brown miss a clutch field goal for the 2008 or 2009 Texans.
Not too far off.
Tom Savage. He wore number three.
Mm-hmm. Started the first game of the 2017 season.
Yep. Brandon Whedon also wore number three.
Okay.
2018, they were just sifting through quarterbacks.
Yeah.
After
Watson.
Watson, yeah. 2022, Kyle Allen.
The 2022 Texans and the 21 Texans. You know, I'll throw the 21 Texans in there, too. Just all-time depressing football.
Texans-Dolphins in 2022. Watched that game completely hungover. And did it make me puke? It might have. It was rough. So we're 3 days away from the start of the NFL season. Did you know that the Dallas Cowboys finally paid a guy? Big time news for the Cowboys. The Cowboys gave defensive back Deron Bland a 4-year extension worth $92 million. $50 million of those dollars guaranteed, a $22 million signing bonus. This is a weird move. If you're going to pay somebody, wouldn't you pay, I don't know, Micah Parsons? Instead, you're paying their second best corner to Trevon Diggs, who just happens to get a lot of interceptions returned for touchdowns, but also is a bit of a gambler. And if you're Jerry Jones and you're saying, hey, man, we're trying to make the run defense better when you're getting rid of Micah Parsons, okay, so a guy who doesn't tackle? Because good for Deron Bland. I mean, damn. Get a couple of pick sixes. Maybe Jerry Jones thinks he's talking to Deion Sanders. That is an insane extension. 2023, for those who don't remember, Bland led the league in interceptions with 9. And he returned 5 for a touchdown. He played 7 games last year because of a stress reaction in his left foot and did not have 1 interception. And he's getting paid like one of the best. That is crazy to me.
Yeah. This is big time PR. See? Signed someone. Like, we brought someone, and he's the perfect kind of player because, like you said, he's a gambler. Where the casual fan will just look at, had a lot of interceptions 2 years ago. All right, cool. This is just Cowboys stay Cowboys. This is why I cannot give Jerry Jones any benefit of the doubt on the Micah Parsons trade of, like, maybe it was a principled stand, or like you said about run defense, long-term thinking, like you, Peter Schrager carried water saying.
You literally killed the few people that could have had your back by giving Deron Bland, who is fine, this contract
is good.
But both the Texans corners are better than him. Like, Derek Stingley, Kamari Lassiter are both better players than this guy. And I'm actually curious if Jalen Smith is going to be better than this guy. Because everyone likes what they saw out of Jalen Smith, who the Texans drafted out of USC in the 4th round. They like him. I'd rather be paying Jalen Smith, not knowing anything about him at the NFL level, that than paying this guy $20-plus million a year. I mean, I feel for Cowboys fans. It sure sucks to be a Texas fan today. It sure sucks to be an Alabama fan today, a Clemson fan today, yada, yada, yada. Notre Dame fan probably too. But if you're a Cowboys fan, it's just another reminder of, oh yeah, we got a senile man running the show who's tried his best to spin moving on from his best player while overpaying Dak Prescott. And also, I think overpaying CeeDee Lamb, but I'm not the biggest CeeDee Lamb fan out there because I don't base my football opinions off of fantasy football. And this is who you're going to pay with the money that you save. It's like you're spending for the sake of spending, but Cowboys fans are smart enough to realize that this is crazy. Micah Parsons or Deron Bland, your second best corner. They have Trevon Diggs.
Yeah, I would rather have signing Micah Parsons to his next contract, or to the contract he did sign with the Packers. And if it's like, but that means you lose Deron Bland, 100% fine with doing that.
I'd rather give that contract to George Pickens. No, I'm not kidding. I'd rather give that to George
Pickens.
He's
shown flashes.
At least Pickens has shown at times. When his head is on straight, he is one of the top 20, 25 receivers in the league.
I forgot they had Pickens. This year is going to be... I don't know.
Cannot wait for the first game where George Pickens is pissed off about a lack of targets.
They freaking play the Packers week 4. Mm-hmm. I think Sunday night. Probably Sunday night.
Yeah. Oof. Goodness gracious. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston and Twitch at ESPN 975. Also, news today from DeMeco Ryans' press conference. DeMeco Ryans and the Texans do expect C.J. Gardner-Johnson to play week 1 for the Texans despite suffering what many in the time believed was a torn ACL. So there you go. It is the Paul Gallant Show, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Stick around.
Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. Happy Labor Day. We are live. Sean Mapes hanging out as well. Tune in with the morning show, wouldn't even though the morning show, half of the morning show showed up today. I kind of get John not doing the show early in the morning on Labor Day.
Yeah.
While in LA.
At 5 in the morning, oof. LA time.
Oof. Yeah. No, I was thinking about doing my live stream this morning, 6 a.m., which that's a target window in the near future. And then I was like, no. I think last night at about 7:30, as I'm hanging out on the couch and the girlfriend and I are watching Bachelor in Paradise, at about 7:30 as I'm doing show prep, I'm like, yeah, I'm not getting up at 5 a.m. on Labor Day. You know, I didn't be born in the same family as a grandpa who used to be like one of the dudes on the docks of Philadelphia and saying like, if you do anything work-wise on Labor Day, or if you shop anywhere on Labor Day, you're a bad person. Like I feel like I'm letting him down a little bit, and he helped save Europe from the Nazis. I feel bad. But at least John and at least Lance didn't do that today.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't let the Nazis win today.
No, they didn't. They honored my grandfather. RIP, Pop. Never met you, but miss you anyway. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Someone just texted in all caps. I can't believe you said Kamari Lassiter is a better cornerback than an all-pro corner who led the NFL in return touchdowns last year. Yeah, it was 2023. He had no interceptions last year, and Kamari Lassiter is better. Yes. Is this what we're going to do? Is this always going to be like people are just going to text in all caps when you say something that is right?
My favorite player on my favorite team is better than the guy you watch.
Dude, generally a player who is getting that many interceptions means he gets tested a lot. And it usually means you're a gambler if you have a lot of pick sixes. So you're getting beat from time to time too. And you don't tackle on top of all of that. Yeah. Do not bring return yards and return touchdowns to a cornerback argument in defense. Just don't. Don't waste my time. Don't waste your time. Okay? Thank you. The Astros have scored a run, so they broke the streak of 17 innings without a run. So that's nice. You got Yusei Kikuchi on the hill for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Yusei! That the Astros gave up Joey Loperfido to get Yusei Kikuchi and not sign him to an extension. And Luis Garcia into the third inning, and his elbow has not re-aggravated itself. /torn, requiring another Tommy John surgery. So perhaps the arrow is trending up for your Houston Astros. 713-780-3776 to call into text. And YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. This is a story on the front page of ESPN right now, and I'm sorry to that Cowboy fan who is so angry that I don't think much of Deron Landry? Is that his name? Yeah, whatever. Bland. My bad. Literally did forget it in that moment.
Oh, I thought you were doing a bit.
No, I wasn't doing it.
Because you got close.
I forgot because he's not worth that money. And I'm trying to keep negative thoughts out of my head.
Did you see the return yards he had, though? A lot of long returns.
I mean, he's getting paid a lot of money.
It's like Deion Sanders.
The very least, there's so many return yards that the money is going a long way for all of those yards. You know? Micah Parsons actually might have a hurt back. At least per this report at ESPN.com. Packers pass rusher Micah Parsons. Damn, that's gotta feel weird, huh? Especially when you're thinking Deron Bland is a great corner. Packers pass rusher Micah Parsons has been dealing with an L4/L5 facet joint sprain in his back. And he may take an epidural injection before Sunday's game against the Detroit Lions if needed to help him play, sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter on Monday. Is this something that he's saying so that the Cowboys don't get petty and try to fine him for all the training camp practices that he missed?
It might. I mean,
I'm wondering if statute of limitations exists when it comes to fining a player. Because if the player no longer plays for you, okay. I mean, what can you really do to punish them? But if you did skip the entirety of the offseason and you reported to camp but were injured with a back injury, is this Micah Parsons and David Mulugeta making sure that a petty Jerry Jones doesn't call a lawyer and try to get a little of that cheddar that Micah Parsons is now getting from the Packers back because he may or may not have been committing a little bit of what, if we were doing it, insurance fraud? He's playing sick to get out of paying a fine for not showing up for training camp.
Yeah, no, it's the, I guess, the inverse of coughing a couple times before you're going to take a, on Thursday, before you take a sick day on Friday. You know, it's like, on Thursday, I need to play it up so when I take a sick day on Friday, you know, I have plausible deniability. This is the flip side of, I know I said I was hurt, but now I'm on my new team. I can't magically be ready to play first week. So, hey, some L4s, some L5s. If you throw in L4 and L5, whatever that means on your back, you immediately gain legitimacy on whatever your back injury is.
I don't know what that means, but it, sounds legit.
And it sounds like your spine hurts.
Oh, the L4, L5 facet joint sprain. You ever been dealing with an L4, L5 facet joint sprain in your back? Probably all of us do.
Yeah.
Because most people that are sitting in an office chair for the entirety of a day, you probably slouch. So you probably have the same thing.
Yeah.
We're all warriors out there.
I don't need an epidural. Come in here on Labor Day, clicking and clacking.
Clicking and clacking.
Yeah. Micah Parsons, soft. Needs an epidural to do his job.
My own. Yeah. Back in the day, you just had to keep on going about your business. You know? Arch Manning spoke today after his struggles for Texas.
Did he go Framber Valdez?
He did not blame.
Okay. Through an interpreter. That would have been a great move.
Arch Manning just starts speaking in Spanish.
His, like, or Duolingo Spanish.
He is a New Orleans guy. Is it possible that the Mannings
maybe
speak a little French?
Yeah.
He comes out there. He's like Gambit from the Marvel Universe, just speaking with the most Creole accent you've ever heard. Just super.
I did
Cajun.
Not get my feet set, monsieur. I'm going to Colombia. You don't know what's going to happen in Colombia when I'm there.
Yeah, you actually know French. I just can only
But that's
speak
not even
back.
French. That's me just being at Orgeron and okay. sounding more like that guy from The Waterboy, who is the assistant coach there. Arch Manning, when asked about his struggles, 17 of 30 for 170 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Doesn't look that bad when you look at the stats. I hold myself to a high standard. I've got to play better, got to lead more, got to get our guys to play well around me. And ultimately, I wasn't good enough. Said Steve Sarkisian, I think one thing that happened a little bit to Arch is the game can mount on you. Whoa, game. Back off, dude.
Buy me a drink first.
Yeah. Ask for consent. And feel like, oh, man, we're not scoring. Or I missed a read. Or I missed a throw. When in reality, you look at the scoreboard, it's still nothing-nothing. This game, it was a very tight game. I don't think he needed to press. And I think he'll learn that as we go. Especially because he's fortunate right now. He's got a great defense on the other side of the ball. Hey, Steve, yeah, we know. You should know, too. Why are you playing this game on Saturday like you're Michigan with a 5-6 record in a rivalry game against Ohio State? Did Michigan have a better game plan against Ohio State in that game last year than Steve Sarkisian did? They probably did.
Yeah, I mean, they won.
They won the game, but also it's, oh yeah, we have no one of consequence on our team. And on top of that, Jim Harbaugh's gone. So it's tough. It's tough. We don't have Connor Stallions anymore either. It's tough. It's tough out there.
Yeah, they scored 13 points.
Oh, my God.
Scored twice as many as Texas.
That Michigan offense in that game, by the way, I mean, an absolute abomination to the Lord. But Ohio State, for whatever reason, couldn't put its pants on that day.
It was 10-10 at halftime, and Michigan scored 3 points in the fourth quarter. Ohio State scoreless in the second half. What a terrible game.
Yeah, it was a rough game. I remember watching that on a Spirit Airlines flight.
Yeah.
On my way back from Connecticut.
I was watching on my phone at like my grandparents' house or something.
I fell asleep a couple of times, and I woke up. I was like, oh, damn, did I miss any of Ohio State, Michigan? Nope.
Nope.
Missed nothing. Missed nothing.
No, Texas, I'll say not just Arch Manning, Steve Sarkisian too, very, very fortunate that they have a very good defense.
Yeah, very.
That is what is keeping me away from, like, jumping out the closest window, is that I think for, what, 8 out of the 11 games, however, all numbers subject to change. But for the vast majority of the games that they'll play for the rest of the year, like, getting that defensive effort is good enough. Like, just getting that on from your defense will be good enough to keep you in these games that don't have Ohio State level talent all
over the place. Yeah, yeah. No, like, they'll probably win you a couple of games. Yeah. They'll probably score like they're a team of Deron Bland.
We reached that point in the second half where I was sending some text about defense probably needs to score on this one.
Yeah, you need a Deron Bland.
Yeah, need an interception. Yeah, yeah. I hope that they're showing these guys Deron Bland tape.
Yeah, cough up like $92 million in NIL money. Texas has it, and find yourself a Deron Bland out
couch
there.
Cushion. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. More from Arch Manning, who said he settled in more in the second half. I've realized we've got to go start making plays. And I let it rip a little more. I've got to start that sooner. Well, but if you're going to let it rip, don't miss
the guys.
He was ripping
too hard.
Yeah.
On the short stuff.
Yeah.
It was bad.
I was more accurate throwing socks at my cat than Arch Manning was on Saturday.
Probably.
I know that's not nice, but every now and then I just like lob a sock up in the air.
Oh, like a grenade?
Yeah, and just see if I can like land on my cat's head. Is that wrong? Is that abuse? I don't know. You're allowed to harass cats.
I think it's playful.
Yeah, it's playful.
Cats will scratch you. Like, come on. They can get a sock on the head.
Can self-defend itself very easily, you know? Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text. Abraham San on Twitch says the UT offense is trash. Yeah, not great. The amount of UT shirts this weekend was laughable. Also, yeah, there was a lot of that. And there was a lot of people that went home at Kirby Ice House where I watched the game. And it was brutally humid on Saturday. But there were a lot of people who left with plenty of time left after Ohio State scored the second touchdown and it was 14-0.
Poor form.
It was poor form.
Disavow.
I mean, plenty of time left. And Texas did score pretty quickly to answer that.
Yeah, the last two drives were two of at least for Arch, the best that Arch looked was the last two drives.
Yeah, it was very T-shirt of those people who left early. It was very T-shirt. Also, that quarterback for Ohio State.
Saying,
yeah. What an idiot, like throwing the ball away on that 1 second down.
Oh, yeah.
I remember thinking to myself, like, dude, just go down. The game would have been over.
You know, first time starter. Could be worse.
Could be worse.
Could be worse.
True. Sean Mace behind the glass of Paul Gallant. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.